Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, wanted to hop on real quick before we get into today's episode and let everyone know that the next 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge registration link is live. You can go to the show notes, click the link for more details, or you can go to www.thefastingforlife.com/live. Wanted to speak directly to you if you've been listening to the podcast, maybe you're new and just getting started, or maybe you've been fasting for a while and really trying to adopt that lifestyle and the scale just won't move beyond that 2 to 4, 3 to 5 pounds each week, or maybe you feel like you've hit that dreaded weight loss plateau, or maybe the hunger, or as my wife likes to say, the hangriness has snuck up and bit you on the backside, and you just can't seem to get away from those cravings, or the consistency of your fasting schedule just isn't allowing you to get back on track if you've fallen by the wayside. This 7-day lifestyle challenge is exactly for you. It's coming up in the near future. Please don't miss out on this opportunity. We are super excited to be leveling up this experience and leaving that diet baggage behind, giving you the confidence and the habits to build that long-term weight loss and fasting lifestyle success. Go to the show notes. You can click the link or www.thefastingforlife.com/live. We will hope to see you on the inside. And now to today's episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. Ready to rock and roll today. We've been going through some research over the last few episodes, and today we're going to dive in to one of the more important driving factors that we see when it comes to fasting success. And if you're new to the podcast, feel free to go back, listen to the first couple of episodes, learn more about Tommy and I's journey and why we started this thing. And hopefully you'll join us on this journey because it's been life-changing for us. For all of you repeat listeners, for you guys that show up weekly, that send us messages, shout out to y'all because we're on this journey together. And it's just super cool to have so much feedback and engagement from you guys. So we're going to continue to keep this conversational and, more importantly, actionable. So we can continue to level up our fasting skills and adopting the fasting lifestyle. So with that being said, Tommy, we're going to go into a conversation today about willpower versus discipline. And why that's important is because fasting is pretty simple, right? You just stop eating for any amount of time, okay? And I know last episode we talked, it was last episode or two episodes ago, you know, we talked about those windows and beginning fasting. The number one question we get is, well, how long do I fast? How do I fast? And the second question is, well, how do I break the fast? What do I eat, right? Like what's on limit, what's off limits, what's not? But so fasting is really simple from a construct standpoint, but sometimes it's not easy. And that's what this conversation today is going to talk through. So we're going to go through the weakest to strongest portions of willpower. Then we're going to go into willpower versus discipline. We're going to talk about what undermines willpower and then what builds discipline and how this applies to your eating window, to your fasting timer, to your grazing, to your freelancing and continually pivot and moving the timer and closing your window and opening your window and all of the things in between. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a convo. So hopefully at the end, we're going to give you an invite to hop into our community group and continue the conversation to get your questions answered and also add insights for others in our Facebook community group, which is the link is in the show notes. It's a free group. Come on in, continue the conversation. Yeah. And this week's topic is going to be around this distinction between willpower versus discipline. So, Tommy, I have set the stage, sir. I'm going to ping this back over to you, and let's start to dive in.
Yeah, this is really cool because I know that over the years I used a lot of what I thought was, you know, willpower versus what I thought might be good discipline, and it's interesting because, you know, after having been on a fasting journey for the last several years and finally making, you know, progress towards my goals that I wanted to hit for so long, it becomes almost an exercise in what was I doing wrong for all those years. And it comes down to some of these distinctions within willpower that I feel like are widely misunderstood, but things start to make sense when we break down willpower into three parts, because it's actually three different words that describe, that encompass willpower. It's won't, will, and want. And that's in order from weakest to strongest. So I won't power is the weakest. I will power is still weak, but less weak than I won't power. And I want power is the actual strongest one, but oftentimes the
one that's hardest overlooked.
It's overlooked and it's harder to tap into. It takes a little more thought and effort to kind of tap into that one.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's not enough emphasis on that one that actually moves the needle. And we spend too much time on the other two that actually don't get us anywhere or take us in the wrong direction sometimes.
Yeah. So for definitions of where we're coming from on a construct, and we'll break down the three there and go into each one in detail and then talk about this push-pull between willpower and discipline. But willpower is really the strength of will to carry out one's decisions, wishes or plans, right? And discipline is this, I love this word, training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior, especially training that produces moral or mental improvement. Now, you alluded to in the beginning, Tommy, the mental gymnastics that you used to play and I play and played for so many years with, and we reference this research article often about the amount of food-related decisions that the average individual makes in any given day. They surveyed a bunch of people and they thought it was 14. It was really 240 or 260 different decisions and thoughts that we have around food. So I love the fact that this says training, discipline, training expected to produce a specific character or pattern, especially training that produces moral or mental improvement. Because again, fasting is simple, but to get it to become a lifestyle and not just another diet is the complex part. Everybody is different, right? We all have different stresses and circadian rhythms and hormonal, you know, places that we're starting from in a hormonal standpoint and cravings, and all our stories are relatable, but different because it's almost like a fingerprint, right? Your weight loss journey has brought you here through all the trials and tribulations and mental gymnastics and all these other things. So I love the fact that we're going to start at the least, right? Unpack what that is, go up to what we should be focusing on, and then really build the foundation of how we're going to move out of the weakest discussion and topics around willpower, because that's where we tend to live, especially when we start a new diet or workout plan or lifestyle overhaul or insert anything you're trying to do that's complex. Okay.
Yeah.
This is where we start. We start at the least effective points. Right. And that's why we tend to, if you look at New Year's resolutions, they tend to fade out by the third or fourth week of January.
I mean, because it's so easy. Our brains are wired as worst case scenario generators, and they are also fear and danger avoidance mechanisms.
Survival.
You know? Yeah, survival for sure. So when we set out on a new thing, like a new diet or a new regimen, maybe it's a fitness or a health regimen or anything else, it could be anything that requires willpower and or discipline, some new set of thoughts and actions and behaviors to get us to a new result. We oftentimes think, okay, what am I doing wrong right now? So what should I stop doing right now is usually the first thought that comes to our mind. So if we're talking about fasting or diet, weight loss, et cetera, it might be something like, okay, don't eat breakfast. Don't stop for donuts on the way to the office. Don't go hit the fast food line. Don't have late night snacks, because these are all of the things that I'm doing now that I feel like I need to remove eliminate or reduce in order to get better results. But when I start talking about don't, then it's all of a sudden it's don't think about the pink elephant.
Well, hold on. So yeah, so I like that. I like this juxtaposition here. So it's, I think you told me the story about when you were talking about your kids in the car, right? So
yeah,
we're talking about I won't power, right? But it's like when you're telling yourself no, and I love that like mental like escapade there. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like, I won't give in to the late night cravings. I won't, you know, give in to the food that's brought to the office on Monday mornings, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to wait and eat lunch, right? Like, I won't give in to binging popcorn and Netflix tonight, right? Like, I won't get stressed out from all of my rude clients that came in and now I'm going to go, you know, calm myself down and get a dopamine hit with food, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. I love that. It's like, don't do this, right? And then I love your story about how that, especially with kids, how that doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. Like if my daughter, she used to not fall asleep. She would not take a nap in the car. She just wouldn't do it. She refused to do it. But as soon as you would say, hey, you know what? You're not allowed to sleep in the car. Don't fall asleep in the car. Don't even think about closing your eyes right now. You can't. You're not allowed to do it. All of a sudden, she would fight tooth and nail to close her eyes because she goes, okay, well, you brought this defensive rebellion center. You activated these rebellion neurons that we all have deep down that will help us to fight against something like an opposing force. But that's part of what we're activating there when we're telling ourselves no, because then we go, well, why did I want it so bad that I have to tell myself no over and over and over again? It becomes the temptation. It becomes that thing that I can't have.
Yeah. So I love the I won't power, because that's right in the middle between the I will and I want in terms of the most or least effective. And the willpower really is the one that we see where it's like, I will go to the gym every day after school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will stick to my fasting window. I will, this is a fun one. Oh, I'll say that in a minute. I will close my window on time and set my timer.
Yeah, I will.
I will break my 24-hour fasting plateau. I will. But then it's interesting because then you can combine the two and say, I will stick to my timer and I won't insert whatever you've told yourself that's off limits. Say it's a food, a macro group, or, you know, a binge-worthy food or something like that. And that's where, you know, we're supposed to be simplifying the process here. Some of you might be listening going, well, this is just complicated. Don't worry, we're going to get there. Right? So the I will power and I won't power, you know, gives us that short-term burst. And I love this quote from insights.com on willpower versus discipline. And it says, willpower is rather a sudden and momentary burst of focused energy, while self-discipline is structured, well thought out, and consistent. Willpower in the moment is more tangible and seemingly more powerful. The reality is that the power of self-discipline dwarfs that of willpower. But in the moment, when we're saying, I will, or I won't, it does not feel that way, because willpower gives you that momentary burst of focused energy, like a rocket launching and the burners, whatever those things are, the thrusters, they burn off and then the rocket keeps going. Like you've burned through all of that energy. And then when that energy wears out, or we'll talk about some of the triggers that undermine that, then you're stuck going, okay, well, I'm going to go back into my old habit pattern.
Yeah, because that's a lot easier when I don't have the energy or the mental gumption anymore, because I expended all that fuel, right? And these can be the willpower ones can be very tempting to do, where like I've done it before, where I'll write it down. I'll just keep writing it. Kind of like if you're a kid and you got in trouble and you're like, go write on the chalkboard 10 times, you know, I will be nicer to other students, or I will exercise more. I will eat healthier foods. I will finally lose this 20 pounds, dang it. I will do something that I've wanted to do for a long time. But the thing is that these things often become almost just like a simple affirmation ritual that doesn't necessarily lead to any actual actions. And so it can kind of get compartmentalized where I can tell myself these things over and over again. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if the buck stops right there, then and no actual action is behind it, because I haven't tapped into the things that are really motivating me. I'm kind of trying to self-hypnotize at that point, just change my self-talk a little bit. But it's surprisingly ineffective most of the time. And that's the frustrating part of that process right there. And it actually, that process doesn't have really any grip. It doesn't have any teeth to kind of move the needle forward to take the necessary next step, which is the actual action behind it. And that's where the I want power actually comes in.
And it's cool because a lot of this stuff came from the, Tommy, if you're familiar with this, but it just popped into my head, the marshmallow experiment back in the 70s.
Yeah.
I believe it was the early 70s, and they were doing the idea with, they'd bring kids into the room, and it's been a long time since I've thought about this, so this will be a poor paraphrase, so give me some grace here.
Sure.
But I remember they put them in the room, and they'd put here's a marshmallow. They leave the room 15 minutes, I believe, and they said, if don't eat this, then you get two.
Yeah.
Right. And all the kids wiggled around and bounced and scooted in their chairs and
very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. There's probably like Instagram accounts and TikTok accounts that do this in a much more updated version, right?
Sure.
Maybe it's like Amy's gummies or, you know, Ring Pops or whatever. Back in the day in the 70s, it was the marshmallow experiment. It's all about that delayed gratification, right? So it's like the children who are willing to delay the gratification showed higher scores in school, SATs. Lower substance abuses and addictions, lower likelihood, like I'm just remembering obesity, stress, better social skills, right? And if you think about this, like if you delay gratification of watching TV and let's say get the work done or that project or that email that needs to be sent or the parenting that needs to be done, you'll actually have a better outcome, better relationships, less stress, better sleep. Yeah. And for the kids, it was, you know, decrease the television, get your homework done, then you get better grades. If you delay gratification of buying desserts or stopping to get donuts on the way home or the snack for the car ride home from the office, you'll eat healthier when you get home.
Right.
Right. As long as you haven't bought the whole snack aisle. Right. So it's like the delayed gratification of finishing your workout early and maybe putting in a few more reps or getting it done before the day takes over. You have that long term health outcome. So that piece of delayed gratification, you're like, okay, that sounds great. How does that fit into the strongest portion of willpower, which is that I want power? That's really where the magic happens. And that's, you know, you can label it as your why or your anchor. But, you know, any given time, there's millions of people trying to lose weight, yet the stats show we're going in the wrong direction. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, why are we not being able to make these things stick? It's because we're living in that instant gratification where you get that short-term hit, right? But then the it moves you farther away your long-term goal. And that's where the I want power comes into play. Because this, the I want power is actually like a muscle. It can be trained. It's the part of the brain that remembers the long-term goals and desires of what we really want. And getting into the habit of focusing on that and not putting the blinders on is difficult. Mm-hmm. But it takes repetition, just like you can't go to the gym once and expect to have big biceps. Sure. You have to do bicep curls three times a week over and over and over again.
Right.
And in 90 days, you're going to look in the mirror and go, wow, okay, now I see the change.
Yeah. Yeah. When you start to get into the I want power, you're like, you're removing those decision-making muscles that are like, oh, let me remind myself why I don't want to do it. Or let me remind myself what I did want to do. But instead of doing that, you're actually focusing on the deeper motivators, like why do I want to lose this 20 pounds? Is it because I just like the number on the scale? Well, maybe that's not really that's not going to go very deep, right? So what if it was more like, oh, because I want the energy to keep up with my kids or with my grandkids, something that I actually really, really want that I know if I stick to my fasting timer, if I make better food choices, I'm actually going to get closer to that, that's going to be a heck of a lot more motivating in the moment when I have that temptation or that thing that I used to use willpower to fight against in order to not make the old decision. It's going to come a lot more automatic when it's easier to remember in the moment too, during those really kind of make it or break it moments, those motivating why statements and the things that I actually want come to mind. And then in the moment I go, well, I don't want to do that because I want the thing that I want. So never mind. So I can put off the short-term temptation for the long-term goal. It becomes more automatic.
The easiest way to tap into that I want power too is it's self-guided and self-regulated, and it doesn't take a lot of energy. And yeah. it moves you away from the I will and I won't. And it's simply self-awareness. So it's writing something down that you will be, like if you write down, I will skip the gym today, right? Your prefrontal cortex is going to go, wait, hold on. You were supposed to be getting in shape for the beach this year, remember? Yeah. And this is why like we don't track or tell people to count calories or macros. We give guidelines, right? Because you need to figure out what's sustainable for you long-term. If you want to eat more low carb or more higher protein or carnivore or paleo, insert whatever. It doesn't vegan, vegetarian, doesn't matter. What's sustainable for you? Yes, some are more beneficial and some have more pros and cons, but you got to figure that out. But that's why when people come in and they get stuck, like, yeah, I'm trying this fasting thing. I just can't seem to get it work. It's like, okay, well, track a food diary, track for like a week so you can be self-aware of what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And then when we activate that prefrontal cortex in a positive way, right? When we start to think about the resistance, the neurons in your brain that are responsible for self-control actually start to activate.
Yeah.
And when they activate without you thinking about it, the motivation to resist the temptation becomes more, it comes to us more naturally, right? Where we don't have to be so self-aware. And our cravings will become less powerful. Never mind if you're fasting and sticking to your timer, you're going to help balance out those hunger hormones. So the easiest way to tap into it is a little bit of self-awareness. And like you said, Tommy, anchoring to something greater than the scale or a bigger desire that you want to achieve. So that rush of motivation you get from that newfound, like, I want power or awareness will surprise you, which transitions into the point that we like to say about, you know, what actually gets results? Is it taking action? Is it motivation? And that kind of framework where people typically have it inverted.
Yeah, we usually think about it like, okay, I'm going to wait for the motivation to strike. And once that happens, then I'll finally be able to take that big action that's going to lead me to the results. But really, that's not the order of operations right there. We have to take the action first, then see the results, and then the motivation to continue really starts to snowball. And that's an incredibly powerful process. And it can feel really almost weird or counterintuitive, especially if you've been stuck in the I won't power, telling yourself not to do certain things, or the I will power, trying to will yourself towards something. Once you start to tap into that I want power, it really kind of flips this whole thing on its head and allows you to move forward in a more natural kind of way. It feels more natural.
You can't even get out of the starting blocks, right? It's like, I'll start Monday. Oh, it's Thursday. I'll start Monday, right?
Next Monday.
I'll do it after the next holiday.
The summer.
Or I will be able to pivot. You know, I didn't plan for what I'm going to eat today. I'll just set my timer and I'll do an open-ended fast. Mm-hmm. No, not unless you are maintenance, maintaining, lots of repetitions that I want muscle is very strong. Will that be successful? And that's why we get stuck on this diet roller coaster, right? So juxtaposing the difference between willpower and discipline, we need to come up with that framework of, okay, where do the problems start? And then how do we insulate ourselves and put in a jig or a system of that training, right? That we worked at off of that original definition of discipline, training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. And this is where James Clear, Atomic Habits, has aggregated all the people that came before him into this really digestible plan of like, okay, well, what do we do? And this is a lot of what we use that I've used. That's one of those books, just like Dr. Fung's books, that are always on my bookshelf. Mm-hmm. Those don't get donated to the local library. Those don't get put on the top shelf in the other room. Those are on my bookshelf because they're so important. So it's why does the willpower fade, or how does it get undermined? And then how do we build the discipline? So the two big things for why willpower fades are your environment, right? Mm-hmm. And then personally for me, and this is also found in the research, sleep. I'd like to add in another one around that kind of relates to both of those, which would be stress. So that can come from your environment, bosses, husbands, kids, spouses, family, the guy cutting you off on the interstate, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And then physiological stress. So that's the emotional stress with the environment piece. And then the physiological stress that your body goes under with improper sleep or decreased sleep or sleep deprivation. I'm not talking about Navy SEAL sleep deprivation. I just mean, less than 6 to 7 hours a night for a few nights can really throw off your physiology. So now it's like, okay, well, we did a whole episode on sleep. If you want more guidance, go back and listen. We deep dive into the physiology and how to actually, over the next 60 or 90 days, get some traction there. But mm-hmm. the two reasons why willpower fades are the environment, external stresses, and then sleep, those physiological imbalances.
What about the stressor that is holding on to the extra weight? What about the self-perpetuating cycle of each pound of fat that I gain puts an additional stress on my physiology, on my body? And that makes it that much more difficult to, build those discipline muscles and to feel like I have to muster through the willpower to make the next right decision, because every minute of the day, my body is just a little more stressed than normal, right?
Yeah, and it comes down to really putting in some easily implementable like routines. So one of the things that we talked about earlier was just that that self-awareness piece. So we want to give you a couple of tools, strategies to boost the I want portion of the willpower. Okay. So you got to do some self-reflection here and think, okay, why do I really want to lose the weight? What is the me 20 pounds less from now, off medications, no longer a diabetic? What does that individual look like, feel like? How do they go throughout their day? Take 5 minutes and visualize what the heck that looks like. Because that feeling is what you can tap into that can get you closer to figuring out why you actually want to lose the weight. You don't want to lose the weight because your doctor told you. You don't want to lose the weight because you know you should. You don't want to lose the weight because your coach back in whatever, volleyball back in the day was like, yeah, you need to be a certain body weight or body fat percentage to be on this team. I don't know. Insert whatever construct that you're bringing with you through the journey of trying to be healthy, regain your health, and lose weight. Whatever that is we need to unpack and move away from that in a healthy way. And that really comes down to just a few things to boost that I want portion of willpower and become more disciplined, right? And build those habits long term. And it's really coming down to just a few things. It's developing a ritual, right? So something you don't have to think about, which is, like if you're gonna go to the gym in the morning, lay out your clothes the night before. Like remove any speed bumps, right? And then the second one, and we'll unpack these for a few minutes, is use temptation bundling. And we'll talk about what that is. And then plan for failure with the if-then technique. Those are the three things. Okay. And then the fourth one we already mentioned, which is the elimination of decisions. And when it comes to fasting, that's really like the superpower of fasting. You're eliminating those decisions about food, what and when and how. Like really you just got to focus on the when in the beginning,
right?
And so those are the things I want to unpack for a few minutes as we kind of say, all right, now that we've unpacked what it is and why it doesn't work, how can we then build those muscles? And that first one that I mentioned was the developing a ritual or a pregame routine to allow you to not have to think about it.
Yeah, that ritual, I think it starts with the most basic fasting tool, which is our fasting timer. Or alarm clock, or whatever timer you use, or by the clock. But I feel like a lot of folks, as they get more experienced in their fasting, they tend to get away from that timer. But the fundamentals of it are really, really important for actually removing that decision fatigue that you just alluded to. Because even if it's a quote unquote 12-hour fast, which is, basically just like I went to sleep,
That's and not then a fast.
Yeah, right. But even if it was just like 12 hours, like from dinner to breakfast, I'm really not skipping any meals here, but at the same time, I can still be following a timer to go from one meal to the next. And the cool thing in that is that takes discipline to do that, but it doesn't take any willpower to set that timer, because you didn't have to change any actual thought process or what I consumed or what my food was or anything else. All I did was I simply set a timer. But the discipline of doing that makes that first fundamental step that much easier. And so when I go from 12 hours to 16, and now I start to actually tap into potentially, you know, putting off a meal so that I can have a little bit of time to tap into those long-term fat stores, now that's going to be that much easier because that muscle is that much stronger, the discipline muscle. But it's not really going to take any willpower. It's the same discipline. I'm just going to change the time on the timer a little bit. But then the result starts to get a little bit different. And that's where the magic starts to happen.
Yeah, and that's where you get a result and then your motivation continues, right?
Because you're
taking action.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Just to land the plane on the decision elimination piece, you know, all of those food decisions that we make throughout the day, you know, really, you know, people thought it was 14, it's in the 200s, right? So
right.
If you're thinking about exercising or, you know, let's say you want to eat more vegetables and make better healthy decisions, right? Limit yourself to only one vegetable during the week, right? And by limiting the number of choices you have to make, it's more likely that you're actually going to eat it. So just buy green beans. And we do this in our house.
Yep.
And I didn't even realize it until we started talking about kind of unpacking this. We have a very limited rotation of veggies.
Yeah.
And we love all of them. Never knew until my mid-30s that I liked Brussels sprouts.
Right.
I had no idea. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? I've been missing out on this, right? So
I am
not a vegetable person. I would literally juice vegetables just to eat them because I don't like them reheated. I'm very particular about how they're cooked. I don't like mushy broccoli. I know I sound like wah, 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 right? But
no, but it's one of those things that naturally we go away from these things because it can be hard to figure out a way that I like to eat them. But they're good.
So you're more likely to do it if there's less. So pick a vegetable, right? Mm-hmm. So when you break your fast, pick one thing that you want to be putting in. And that's the only thing you eat for the week. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Okay.
Right.
And then for the exercise thing, it's the same thing. And there's just a cool study about, who did the research? I don't remember the guy's name, but he had a problem going to the gym, like sticking to it. So the first 6 weeks of a new lifestyle overhaul, right? He's like, I'm going to get in shape. I think it was maybe he was trying to run a marathon. I can't remember.
He set a rule.
He was not allowed to exercise for more than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And what it did was the first 6 weeks of exercise, it was very easy. It was almost too easy where he's like, what am I doing?
Right.
But he did it. And then after that, he was like, my brain now knows exercise is easy. He removed the interference and then he ended up losing 150 pounds or something crazy.
That's discipline right there.
Yeah.
That is strengthening that discipline muscle.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
So we try to overcomplicate this stuff. So those are two. So that was the decision fatigue and the developing rituals, right? So just think, pick one. Don't try to start with five, okay? If it's closing your window on time, if it's sticking to your fasting window, if it's, well, you just kind of willy-nilly freelance it every week, right? And you just give him back the same 5 to 10 pounds or you're grazing throughout the day. Like, think about those things, right? And then the last two is temptation bundling, which this was new to me recently. And it's cool. And how do I say this? So the easiest way to explain this is if you have framework for sacrificing to perform a good behavior, like going to the gym after a long day of work.
Yeah.
That requires you to pay an upfront cost but provides a long-term benefit.
Right.
The opposite is indulging in a bad behavior, like skipping a workout to watch TV or stop and get your favorite food, can provide a spike of short-term enjoyment in the beginning, but has long-term negative effects. Right. So what you want to do is you want to bundle these. And I used to do this when I was on a virtual rowing team and I was rowing 400,000 to 600,000 meters a month, right? On a concept two rower.
Yeah.
And I would, cause some of those workouts were terrible. Like you're sitting, your butt falls asleep, your low back can be achy if your form doesn't stay good, right? Your arms are burning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called temptation bundling. And what you do is, what I used to do is watching my favorite shows. And I went back and rewatched The Sopranos.
Because
I used to try to do personal growth stuff on the rower, but I'm like, okay, now I'm doing personal growth and I'm torturing myself. This is awful.
Right.
So you can get a short-term benefit of indulging in the thing that you want to do, right? Okay. In that bad binging behavior, right? So combining the two, like watching your favorite TV show only at the gym.
Yeah.
Now you've bundled the temptation with a positive.
That's cool.
Right? And you're getting that long-term benefit. And I absolutely, I didn't realize I was doing it back then, but that's when I was the most successful on the rowing team is when I was doing that. I was using that time to reward myself, but I was also getting the benefit. And the last one, Tommy, we love from Mel Robbins, which was the if-then technique.
Yeah, and the if-then technique is really cool because I need to understand what might tempt me, what might come up in the moment, what might derail me from my next fast. And let me go like for me, it's a revolving pantry door. Like if I have something crunchy, something snacky, then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to need to come back to it. And then you just like keep returning back to the scene of the crime.
The bag of chips. I'm just going to grab a handful and then
just a couple.
And then the bag's gone. Yeah.
Bet you can't have just one, you know?
Right. That's like good marketing. Like,
yeah. No kidding. And I mean, so true. But so if I know that that's something that might derail me, then I want to have an if then statement ready. If I feel tempted to go into the pantry or to have my tempting snack, then I'm going to go do something that I really do enjoy, but I'm only going to do it when I feel like I need that to get away from something tempting. If I feel like I'm being pulled towards the snack pantry, then I'm going to go scroll social media for 10 minutes, which I don't normally do, but I might want to do, right? For that dopamine hit. So that almost reminds me of the temptation bundling there too, but I'm using it to attract me, to pull me away from something that I don't want to do. And so I can kind of reward myself for not taking the action that I didn't want to do.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where it's like planning for the chaos, right? Like the universe is expanding, right? It's not coming in. It's moving out, right? More dissociation, right? More chaos, right?
More chaos. Yep.
So I want you an action step you can do just with this one alone is write a list of the things that muck you up.
Yeah.
And then so if this happens, right? Like if I don't wake up in time to work out in the morning, then I'll do it after work. Your brain already knows, oh, okay, boom. Got it. Don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
If I happen to buy something unhealthy for lunch or eat lunch when I wasn't supposed to, then I'll make a healthy dinner choice or I'll fast through dinner.
Yeah.
So it's if then. And that really leads to that, the one that we've already talked about a couple times today, which is that decision fatigue.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more to the longevity of this conversation, right, Tommy? Like, As we are continuing to, continue our journey and more people come in to the fasting lifestyle and reach out and, we really wanted to make this conversational, but also begin with the end in mind. That's something we say often in our programs and our coaching is we want to begin with the end in mind, right? And I love the fact that the I want power taps into some of that long-term vision of like, why are you really doing this? Like, why does it matter to you, not to anyone in the external, okay? And you can't, it's a visual medium. I'm like putting a big circle around me right now.
Right.
Like not the external stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to be the ones taking that, making that decision, taking that action in the moment. It's going to be you. So why do you want it? You're going to have to tap into that. And that like, there's a reason why this is a big part of what we talk about, like during our challenges and what we talk about in the ongoing community discussion. And like all of the conversations that we have, this is a big part of it because you have to be able to tap into these things in order to successfully implement a long-term fasting lifestyle.
So that's the action step for today. Come join us. Continue the conversation about willpower versus discipline. Head to the show notes. You can click the link that's going to bring you to our free Facebook community. This is where the first two rules of fasting do not apply. And if you are new, the first two rules of fasting are do not talk about fasting and do not talk about fasting.
Right.
Because we know when we tell people that don't fast or haven't done it, you get some crazy looks and reactions and concern that you do not need if you're trying to make fasting stick for you and become the long-term solution and lifestyle. Right. So we're going to continue that conversation, get your questions answered, add some insights. But it is a tree of trust. It is a safe place. We're going to continue to support and encourage this community. And it's been really cool to see over the last few weeks as we've started this initiative to keep this conversational, just the engagement and the interactions that we've been seeing and the positivity that's been coming out of it. So head to the show notes, Click the link. We'll see you on the inside. Tommy, as always, thank you, sir, for the conversation, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.